Chapter 6
June the 21st, Rachel's birthday, was cloudy at dawn, but the sky soon cleared. After breakfast, Mr. Franklin and I met to discuss the moonstone. He was nervous and rather absent-minded, either because he was thinking about Miss Rachel, or perhaps because of his sleeplessness. He was still determined not to smoke. We agreed that since nothing had happened, there was no reason to alarm my lady, and that he should remove the stone from the bank after lunch and return, if possible, with Mr. Godfrey. Afterwards, he and Miss Rachel went back to decorating the door. All morning, Penelope mixed the paints, until at 3 o'clock they proudly declared it was finished. It was not unpleasant to look at. It certainly looked better than it smelled. Mr. Franklin rode to Fritzing Hall, and, after giving directions for the dinner, I sat down in my chair. I woke when he returned with Mr. Godfrey. The fine young lawyer greeted everyone most politely, but strangely, like Mr. Franklin, there was a sort of cloud over him. I had a quick word with Mr. Franklin in the hall.
"Have you got the diamond, sir?"
He nodded.
"Did you see any Indians?"
He shook his head and went into the living room to see Miss Rachel.
About half an hour later, I heard screams coming from the room. I knocked, went in, and saw Miss Rachel staring, fascinated, at the diamond in her hand.
"Extraordinary! Extraordinary!" exclaimed Mr. Godfrey, clapping his hands like an overgrown child.
Mr. Franklin was looking anxiously at my lady, who was reading her brother's will. She turned to me, frowning. "Come to my room in half an hour, Betteredge," she said, and left the room.
"Look, Gabriel," cried Miss Rachel, flashing the jewel in the sunlight.
It was as large as a bird's egg, the colour of the harvest moon, a deep yellow that sucked your eyes into it, so you saw nothing else. Curiously enough, as we stood admiring it, Mr. Godfrey, his admiring eyes on Miss Rachel, said, "It's only mineral, my dear, just a piece of very hard stone." Later, my lady told me that she had the blackest suspicions of the Colonel's motives, and had decided to get the moonstone out of Rachel's possession. I didn't tell her about the Indians. Penelope came in as I was dressing for dinner.
"News for you, Father," she said. "I saw Miss Rachel and that nasty, scheming Ladies' Charity man go into the rose garden arm in arm, laughing, and come back walking apart with very long faces. He stopped her and said, 'Do you want me to stay?' as if nothing had happened. She turned on him. 'Yes,' she said. 'You've accepted my mother's invitation. Now let's forget what happened, Godfrey, please.' She left him. He stood there saying, 'Annoying, annoying.' Isn't it wonderful? I told you Mr. Franklin's the man."
I heard wheels outside. The first guests. I reached the hall just in time to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Ablewhite.